WERS live in the studio on the Soul Bucket with Mr. Barrence Whitfield. Good God. Barrence, how you doing?
I'm fine. I'm telling you, it's getting hot up here.
It is, man. We're going to burn up this place.
But before we start talking again, I just want to say to my young daughter, she'll be three next week. Allegra, you can go to bed now, honey. No more. Daddy says go to bed. Go to bed unless you want to stay up till 11 o'clock and listen to the show. But you should be in bed now. That's all I want to say. I also want to say hello to my mother and father-in-law who are listening on the radio tonight. Say hi to Colin and say hello. Yeah, hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Y'all doing fine out there? y'all, they don't listen to soul music that much. So this is a rare treat for them.
Maybe they'll get hooked and listen to the Soul Bucket every
week.
They'll
be upstairs tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow they'll be saying, "Can I borrow that James Brown record?" We
know. Oh, yeah. Great.
I could see Papa Eddie right now just grooving.
Oh, man. That last record we heard was you doing a Don Covey song off the Don Covey tribute album in Pony Time. Do you want to tell us about why you picked Pony Time over some of the other songs you could have recorded?
Well, actually, I didn't really pick it. The producer of the record heard the tune. He said, there's only one man that could do this tune and do it effectively, and that's Barrence Whitfield. So they got me to do it along with Milton Reeder, my guitar player. We recorded it down in New York. So, and I remember one time listening to it at a radio station on the BBC, and after the song was over, the DJ just said, it was a woman, she said, "My earphones are burning up after that." she said, "Excuse me, I've got to pour some water down my ear." I said, "No, it can't be that bad." She said, "Oh yes, Barrence, it is. It is. It's burning up."
That's great.
But they asked for me to do that, and that's off of a CD of Don Covey a tribute. Everybody's on there: Todd Rundgren, Peter Wolf, Robert Cray,
Mick Taylor.
It's just a nice little array of people.
Ronnie Wood.
Ronnie Wood. Don't forget about that one.
No way, man.
And before that, actually, we heard a great tune by a guy named McKinley Soul Mitchell. It's called "The Town I Live In," and I'll tell you a story about that tune. I had heard this song once before, and it just was embodied in my in my soul for a long time. Then I heard Los Lobos do it. We did a tour with them, and they pulled it out. And I said, "Oh my God, you guys doing 'The Town I Live In'?" And they had heard it. They'd never heard the McKinley Soul Mitchell version. They got their version from a group from East L.A. called The Midnighters, a Latino group from East L.A. And they did their version. When I played them the McKinley Soul Mitchell, their breaths just go, "Oh my God, that's it. And before that, James Carr, "Forgetting You," another fantastic singer.
He's a mainstay on the Soul Bucket. Always play the James Carr and the Don Covey.
I know. And one day, Matt, I'm gonna have to lend you or dub you a tape of an interview that a friend of mine, Andy Kershaw from the BBC, did with James Carr.
You're kidding me. And what year was that?
This was around, I think it was like 87. The funny thing about it, he went down to Memphis to do the Elvis Presley tribute. It was in August. And then he saw James Carr in this hotel lobby. He said, "To hell with Elvis. I'm going to go.
Oh, man.
Good move. Interview James Carr.
And the
interview is very moving and very sad. So.
You never hear from James Carr anymore.
So next time, I'll remind myself to dub you off that tape.
Please.
It's a powerful piece of journalism.
Excellent. I'd love to hear it. Love to hear it. Can you do me a favor, Matt?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we've got the Soul Billboard here in the Soul Bucket. Would you do the honors, please, and it to the audience?
I'm going to sock it to you. Ooh, yeah. This is the Soul Billboard, brothers and sisters.
Yeah!
On Saturday, March 2 or March 2nd, come on up to Newburyport for the second annual Newburyport JC's Moonlight Madness Mardi Gras Ball and Brew Fest. Yes.
Oh, baby.
Sample beer from 8 local and regional breweries. Live reggae and island music will be provided by the LA Rockers. and spell R O K K E R Z. A lot of beer being drinking.
Yaman.
A lot of beer being drinking at this one. Live reggae and island music again will be provided by the LA Rockers. Tickets are $8 if purchased before February 27 by calling area code 508-462-3971. That's 508-462-3971. Newburyport, Moonlight Madness, Mardi Gras Ball, and Brewfest, March 2nd from 8 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. Shake What You Got every Thursday night starting at 10:30 at the Axis. It's the Psychedelic Soul Shack, and win tickets on the Soul Bucket.
Oh, yeah!
I think I want to win some tickets, but
unfortunately... You want
to go? Well, Thursday nights is kind of rough for me, but...
I understand.
You know, I'm a family man.
I hear you. That's great. And we'll have Axis tickets real soon. My producer, Screamin' Jay, is dying to answer the phone, so call us up at 617-824-8890 if you'd like to talk to or submit a question for me to ask Barrence. If you would like to make a request or dedication tonight, 617-824-8890 is the number. We're pumping 4,000 watts of uncut, unadulterated, sweet soul music, shooting it into the ionosphere, bouncing back into your ears, baby. Huh, good God. Hitting all six New England states. We are the Soul Powerhouse, WERS, live with Barrence Whitfield. Oh, baby. Now, Barrence.
Yes.
Why don't we slide into something else off Ow, Ow, Ow? Are you ready?
I'm ready whenever you are.
Okay, we're gonna do this right now.
Oh. Uh-oh.
No, I mean right now.
Stop twisting my arm. I already love you. Stop twisting my arm.
Oh, yeah. Gonna make you read. Oh, what you read.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna make you weep. Someday, sweetheart.
Oh, man, that's such a great, great tune. You're listening to 88.9 FM, WERS Boston Radio at... Good God, Emerson College. I'm Matt the Swinging Cat. You're listening to the Soul Bucket live with Mr. Barrence Whitfield of Barrence Whitfield and the Savages.
Oh, you, yeah, I am.
You savage beast, you.
Yeah, I is.
Now, what did we just hear?
Well, we just heard a tune from the late, great Brownie McGee. A wonderful, wonderful human being, a great blues singer, who has been in our hearts for many, many years. He passed away about a week ago, and this is my tribute, and my, like I said, this is my tribute to Brownie McGee, and in my heart and everyone's heart, we wish Brownie the best up there in blues land with his buddy Sonny Terry, and thank him for the wonderful years of music he gave us, really. I mean, he's been out there for a long time, and I'm sure... a good cousin of ours, Jerry Polansky, will say the same thing. This is dedicated to her as well. She was a very, very good friend of Brownie's, and that was what was called Preaching the Blues, and that's just what he did on this earth, you know. And he brought music to a lot of people, and I only got to see him a few times, mm-hmm. you know, in my lifetime, but.
Do you remember specific memories from those times you saw him?
Actually, I saw him in New York with Sonny. I was back in, I'll have to say, in the early 70s. And I was turned on to him by a friend of mine and said, you got to see these guys. They work great together. And then again, I saw him at a festival in the early 80s. So I wish I'd have seen a lot more of them. But I was happy to have gotten a taste. And we still have, can still get taste every day from the mm-hmm. vinyl, the crackly vinyl.
Oh, man, wouldn't have it any other way.
And all that.
God bless the vinyl.
But that was a Brownie McGee song with Sonny Terry, and that was from a record called Guitar Highway on the Verve Folkways labels. If you ever see that record or any of Brownie's stuff, please, please give it a listen. And before that, we, I'm walking away, but what I'm trying to remember, what do we play?
Looped.
Oh, Looped by Melvin Smith, a little R&B flavor, you know. I'm looped high as the Georgia. I'm a Georgian myself, anyway.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Where
Brunswick, Georgia.
Brunswick. Now, where's that?
That's an hour from Jacksonville, Florida. It's right on the coast. It's a pretty rural area of Georgia, right on the coast. But it's but it's right across the water. There's this little place called the Saint Simon Islands, and it's a beautiful place. It's like it's not like the United States at all.
Really,
it's a really beautiful place. Mm. Beautiful homes. It's southern, you know, very, very, you know, peak southern from, you know, beautiful homes. And it's just a great place. But I'm from Brunswick, of course. You know, so I'm not from the St. Simon Islands. You know.
When did you move up here?
I actually spent a lot of my boyish hood life in New Jersey, or as they say down in New Jersey.
And what part of Jersey were
you? New Jersey, Newark, East Orange area, you know.
Newark, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, hey, it's rebuilt a lot in the last, 5 years. It's gotten back to, you know, the city that maybe it should be or shouldn't be. But, you know, while I was growing up there, I still have some really fond, wonderful memories of being in New Jersey, and the only bad memory I have is the '67 riots. That's the only bad memory.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
But other than that, I listened to a lot of James Brown. There was not a week that went by that James Brown didn't have a new record out. I'd always go to the local record store around the corner from where I live, and the first thing I would say, "Hey, has James Brown got a new record out?" And they go, I'd always want them to say, "No, really, not this week." They'd always say, "Yeah, man, ain't that funky, Mother Popcorn?" You know,
Barron's, what you gonna play now?
I don't know, but whatever I play is got to be funky.
Yeah,
yeah. But that was, I mean, you know, everything was, James Brown, Ray Charles, The Temptations. Mm. You know, we listen to a lot of soul music. Hey, the big radio station in our area was WNJR, Newark, New Jersey. That was the big black station in Newark, New Jersey. And hey, that's all you're gonna hear. You're gonna hear you just hear all kind. And then on Sunday, my mom, and she still does this to this day, God bless her. And she wakes up in the morning, 8 o'clock. Cranks it up, gospel time from 8 till noon, and I wake up to "Oh, I know." Be eating cereal and just be jumping around.
Hallelujah,
son! But then about 9:30, it's time to get ready for church. So, but you know, she's to this day. I was talking to her not long ago on a Sunday, and I said, "Mom, what you got the gospel program in the back? I can just hear it in the background." You know, just going crazy in the background of the phone. I said, "Mom, she just hasn't changed, has she?"
Oh, man. So was the first time you came, or the first time you moved to Boston when you came to Emerson College?
No, actually, the first time I moved to Boston, first time I came here was in 75, and that was a cousin of mine was going to Berkeley at the time, and that was the time the Red Sox was going to the World Series, so something I should remember, I guess.
Hey, this year is going to be the year, let me tell you.
We hope.
It will be.
We should hope. Everybody got there on time this year, I guess.
They did, yeah.
But no, I moved here in 77, and it was really funny. Two months later, we got the big blizzard of 78, and I said, "Welcome to New England," you know. But I didn't come to Emerson here till about early 79, because I spent a semester or two at Boston University.
Oh, man.
BU.
So, what was up with BU, man?
Well, at the time, it was I went on a scholarship, thank mm-hmm. God. but no, I shouldn't say anything. Well, no, I am going to say something bad. Say,
hey, go ahead, man. Go ahead. Well, take him to the bridge.
That's why we won't get any phone calls tonight because of what I'm about to say about B. No, actually, you know, it just wasn't the school of that I was very comfortable with. And, you know, I just did not feel very, you know, I didn't feel right, you know, about the school. So I was told about Emerson. I came, checked out the place, and I said, hey, they got things I can do there. They have activities I can do. I'm into the communication thing and studies, and I like radio, and I like music, and I like the arts, and why not? It's right down the street. I don't have to transfer and go across, you know, somewhere else I don't want to go. So I came here, and I was here for about 3 years, and I must say it was the best 3 years I spent was here. I had a really good time and learned a lot, even though now I'm just a singer.
No, listen, everybody. Barron's has been queuing up the records like he was a pro, man. Like he's been doing this for the last 15 years.
Yeah, well, you know, tell you. It has been the last 15 years. Oh, but I do feel very, I feel very proud, and I feel very honored that I could come back to a school that really gave me a lot. And I'm here tonight to give it some more.
Excellent. Did you live on campus when you went here?
No, I had an apartment, believe it or not.
You didn't have to bear Fensgate or Charlesgate then, huh?
No, I didn't have to do that. I kind of said, oh, I ain't going to do that.
Good move.
Well, you know, I had a nice apartment, so I shared it with my cousin. So, you know, it was better that way because I did stay in the dormitories at BU, and it was like, you know, it was
like
cool.
A jail in there.
Well, you know, it was kind of tough trying to do your studies or you know, go to sleep if there was uninvited guests there on the weekends. You know, you're trying mm-hmm. to go to sleep and you go, no, no, honey, the other way.
Oh, well, we have that problem here at Emerson, too, you know. It doesn't escape.
Yeah, but I was
can't get away from that.
Yeah, but I was in bunk beds, though.
Oh. Well, you know, it is late night radio.
I couldn't even listen to late night radio.
We don't hide nothing here in the Soul Bucket. No way. And you had a radio show here on our very own WERS.
Well, I did. I was here for a little bit, and I spent you know, a lot of soul music stuff I like to hear, and I think it was very good. I had fun here, you know. I felt very comfortable. It was a good school, and then all I had to do was walk two blocks, and there was Boylston Street. So yeah.
Everything you want, man. It's right here. We got it right here. I got your love right here. Yeah, good God.
But I'm very happy that I can come back here and see, you know, and just say, oh, I remember things here. And I'm glad the year that they were thinking about moving, they didn't move. I'm very happy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was a big deal.
I was going to come out here and throw my body on, come next to the radio station, just throw my body on all the equipment. You ain't going with this stuff, man. I'm 3 years. You ain't come. I'm an alumni. You ain't getting this stuff. I'm staying on this street.
Oh, man. Wouldn't be the same leaving good old Beacon Street.
No, sure wouldn't.
Let's talk about the record exchange in Salem.
There's a great record store in Salem, Massachusetts called the Record Exchange, and you people are invited to come up and shop at any time. Anywhere, we have great music, and that's where I met Matt. You know,
that's where Barron's works, man.
That's where I do my you know, sometimes my time. I get records, I play records, I sell records, I look at records, I smell records, I clean records.
Oh
man, you know, it's something to do when I'm not playing or anything.
Oh yeah, I can remember about 6 years ago. I think it was. How long have you been working there, anyway?
Yeah, I've been there. At least off and on for 5 years.
Yeah, it must have been 5 years ago then. A long time ago, I was in the record exchange, and oh man, it was a great place. And I was looking around, and I found the record, an original pressing of the Beatles' Rarities album. And it didn't have a price on it.
So there's Barrence behind the counter, and I had no idea this was Barrence Whitfield. You know, this is just, you know, the guy at the record store. So I go up to him, and I'm just like, I'm expecting, you know, here's an original pressing of Beatle rarities. You know, I'm thinking, oh, man, how much is this going to cost? So Barrence looks at the record. I said, how much is this record? Or whatever. He looks at the record and goes, how about 99 cents? I'm like, yeah! It was great, man. So
it was only Beatles rarity. It wasn't the Butcher cover.
That's true. It wasn't the Butcher cover.
It was a Butcher cover. It would have been $999.
Oh, man. And I still go into... actually, I saw you over Christmas break at the Record Exchange.
Yeah, you bought a few things.
I did. And we've been trying to do this since summer. We've been trying to get you in here, and I'm glad it worked out tonight.
I'm glad so, too. I just happened to be in town. I'm here with my wife, Patty, and...
You want to say hello?
Hello.
Can you give us a yell? Can you yell like that?
Think...
All right.
You just scared your parents there with that one.
Oh, man.
Scared your son with that one. That's Mommy on the radio tomorrow. Mommy was on the radio.
Oh, man. What do we have queued up?
Well, actually, we're having so much fun talking here, we forget about the music. That's what the purpose is of the
show. Got to slide back into it.
Yeah.
Get down on it.
This is a woman out of Beaumont, Texas. Now, there are only two, actually, there's two famous people out of Beaumont, Texas, Barbara Lynn and George Jones. But we got Barbara Lynn tonight. She's a wonderful guitar player, and her big hit was You Lose a Good Thing.
Oh, yeah.
But this tune that she's doing now is called Oh Baby, and it was done, the Stones did this, but listen to this version.
WERS Soul Bucket.
No matter how much he wants me, I'm not going nowhere. I'm gonna stick right here. I know how much you care. So don't worry, baby, 'cause I'm right here at home. Oh, baby, we've got a good thing going.